Hello, gluttoniers. Welcome to Drunk Gluttony. High Gluttony. And I say drunk because I made an exceptionally good cocktail and then drank it all before I could even start recording. It's delicious. It's a plum and ginger gin sour, which was, yes, very good. And now I am very toasty. And I did have just a smidge of my Nuvada. That pen is still alive and kicking. It's been like 6 months since I bought it. I'm pretty sure I'm exaggerating now due to the alcohol. I've got a plum-themed drink. So guess what, everybody? We're doing stone fruit today because I am absolutely buried in stone fruit right now. So I am trying to find any and every way to use it up. Full disclosure, I did make this recipe, it was last weekend, with peaches, because that is the original intent of this recipe from the Preppy Kitchen. It is a peach cake. I just have more plums than peaches right now, so wanted to see if you could sub in another stone fruit and how good it would be. I'm pretty excited. As I made a pie this last week with the same plums and was just absolutely delightful. Could not be more enthused about how good it was. So doing it again with the plums. So I'm mashing up two of the baked goods I made last weekend, plum pie and a peach cake, plum cake. And I really like this recipe. And I'm not sure that I didn't do a lot of extra beating on this because it was amazing and fluffy and light. I also sieved the flour into the bowl when I put it in. So maybe just one more leavening agent that was in there. So let's go back to the beginning. So we are making a plum cake based on a recipe from the Preppy Kitchen. Nice, easy cake, uses the creaming method, and 2 cups of fruit. I probably chopped up closer to 3-ish cups of fruit both times, and the cake could withhold that. So I'm thinking it'll be able to do it again. Let's talk about my cocktail first. So I did this. It does say in the title, delicious plum ginger gin sour. Sorry if I've been calling it a fizz. It's a sour. Really interesting recipe, and I basically decided to do it because it has aquafaba in it, which is the juice from a can of chickpeas, and it uses that to give you a nice foam on top. And does it work? Yes, it does. And is it delicious? Yes, it is. This involves making a plum ginger simple syrup, which I did. This is the ratios they used. I just kind of tossed it together, so I have no idea what I exactly used, although I did definitely use a lot more than 2 plums. I think I used like 6 or 7. I have so many plums, everybody. So many plums. All right, so we got 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of water, 2 ripe plums is their ratio, but go ahead and add as many as you like. 1-inch piece of fresh ginger peeled and sliced. I really just took 2 smallish knobs of ginger, scrubbed them really well, and then sliced them down the center. Maybe not getting as much of the extraction of the ginger in that, but I was pleased with the flavor all around. That's just going into a pan. You boil, you strain. For the plum gin sour, you're using 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 of an ounce of the aquafaba, 3/4 of an ounce fresh lemon juice. I actually used 1 full ounce, but you know how I love my acid. Just take that under advisement. 3/4 of an ounce of the plum ginger simple syrup and 1 sliced plum for garnish. Mine, I did slice some plum, but it just sank to the bottom of the cocktail glass, so that was not very effective. The recipe from Resplendent Kitchen recommends doing a dry shake first. So that's where you shake the ingredients before adding ice. And I did that. Got a really nice foam on it from the aquafaba. Then adding the ice, shaking it some more, and pouring it into a chilled cocktail glass. And that all went swimmingly and so fast that now, as I am recording this, I have no cocktail. I finished it and I cannot have any more alcohol. Yay! They did use Empress 1908 gin. It's dyed with butterfly pea flowers. Is that what it's called? One moment. it describes this Empress 1908 gin as a delicious New World style gin. This premium gin gets its all-natural, unique indigo color from the infusion of butterfly pea blossoms post-distillation. I actually had some Damson gin in-house that I had made, so I used that. Mine was not as pretty pink as hers was, though it was nice, kind of more of a ruby garnet color. That's the cocktail. Very delicious. Highly recommend. So let's get on to this cake. Or actually, let's talk a little bit about plums, and then we'll get into the cake. I did a little research in On Food and Cooking, just to give us a little basis of plums. What are plums? Where do they come from? And there are two varieties. So there are the European-originated prune plums, typically used for preserves and drying. They're smaller with a larger pit, so that's why that makes them better for those things. Then you have the Asian varieties, which are larger and rounder. That's your elephant heart plums, your Santa Rosa plums, your Shiro plums. It goes on and on. There's a lot of fucking plums out there, so don't be afraid to experiment if you like plums. There's a whole wide world of plums out there for you to enjoy. Plums are a climatic. They ripen after harvest. So you can harvest them early, put them in the fridge, and they will either ripen slowly, or you can put them at a 32 degrees and just hold them there for up to 10 days and then move them into a slightly warmer environment of about 55 degrees for some slow ripening. Otherwise, you can pick them and leave them on your counter and they should ripen really quickly. Prunes, in particular, actually contain up to 15% alcohol sorbitol. Is a sweetening agent. And this could account for why prunes are such good laxatives. We don't fully know why. This is just, like, it's something that our body can't process. So it bypasses the stomach, goes straight into your intestines, and could produce a variety of effects, is how Food and Cooking put it. Prunes can also be used as a natural flavor stabilizer. The example that was given on Food and Cooking was ground meat, and if you use about a tablespoon of prune of some sort in a pound of meat, it can help prevent the warmed over flavor, quote unquote, that you can get sometimes in ground meat. Kind of interesting. I would hope it just brings some acid and balance into it, but you never know. Let's get on to the cake. So this came from Preppy Kitchen. I don't know how often we've used their recipes before. I'm impressed with this one, so I wouldn't be shy about using other ones. And the ingredients for this cake are as follows. You've got 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 cup unsalted butter softened, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 2 large eggs, 1/4 cup sour cream at room temperature, vanilla extract, 1 tablespoon, and 2 cups of ripe fruit, peeled, pitted, sliced, or chopped. Can't remember if I peeled my peaches or not. I didn't peel my plums. So hopefully that's not gonna bite me in the ass later. For equipment, you need a 9-inch round cake pan. I'm using a spring form that I think is actually 10 inches, so it's gonna be a little bit thinner. Mixing bowls, an electric or stand mixer. I am using my KitchenAid today. This is how to make the cake. Preheat your oven to 350. I've already done that. Grease a 9-inch round cake pan with butter or baking spray. Then in a medium mixing bowl, whisk together the flour, baking powder, and salt. I've taken the liberty of adding a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of cardamom into this cake, just for fun. As we know, that cardamom can help enhance sweetness. I do enjoy the idea of plum and cardamom. I've had it in a few different combos. Not gonna be mad about that. And I've added it in at this step. In a large mixing bowl, or the bowl of a stand mixer with the paddle attachment, beat the butter on medium speed until creamy. Add the sugar and beat until light and fluffy about 3 minutes. I think I beat this for like at least 5 or 6 minutes past that. So like 10 minutes of beating. I put it through a lot of beating. So I might do that again today just to make my cake nice and light and fluffy. But we'll see. It's hot today, so I may not be able to get away with that as much as I was able to last week. After you've achieved fluffiness, add the eggs one at a time, scraping down the bowl and beating well after each addition, and then add the sour cream and vanilla. So I've actually mixed together my sour cream and the vanilla already. And I added in some almond extract, because I love me some almond extract and things. I'm just adding all kinds of stupid flavor things, so hopefully I haven't done too much at this point. With the mixer on low speed, gradually add the flour mixture until just combined. Fold in 3/4 of your fruit. Spread the batter into the prepared cake pan. Sprinkle on top the remaining fruit and additional sugar if desired. And I did do that last time and it turned out very nice, so I will be doing that again. Bake for 45 minutes until a wooden pick inserted in the center comes out clean. Let cool for at least 30 minutes before serving. Cake can be covered and stored at room temperature for 3 days. It can also be frozen according to the recipe. We like that. We like freezing things. Not hard cake at all. It's a pretty standard cake. Not one of my upside down variety that I tend to prefer. But now that we've covered all that, I think it's time to get up and go in the kitchen, even though that's gonna make EJ sad. Yeah, it's gonna make you sad, huh? She's my cuddle buddy, aren't you? You're the best one. You're the best. Anyway, we're gonna go to the kitchen, we're gonna make this cake, we're gonna put it in the oven, then I'm gonna take a break, come back when it's ready to taste, and I will taste it on air, and let y'all know how my many experimentations are going with one. All right, let's get over to the kitchen. Right. So we're gonna get going with turning on the mixer with just the butter, 3/4 of a cup of butter in it, and away we go. All right, let's add the sugar, and I'm gonna scrape the bowl real quick, make sure we get things turned over at least. Start adding my eggs. I've done about 4 to 5 minutes of beating. Looks pretty fluffy. I'm scraping my bowl. Scrape, scrape, scrape. And my beater. Scrape all the surfaces. And goes one of my eggs. And on we go. Okay, now we're gonna do egg 2. Ooh, double yolk. How lucky. Extra rich. All right. And we're gonna add that 1/4 cup of sour cream and my extracts. So that's the almond and the vanilla. Sifting in my dry ingredients. My dry ingredients. Of course, I got kind of a small sifter, so some of them are going in and getting sifted, some are not. Just used all of my things today for this, so barely stirred that in. Now we are going to add our plums. I've got some that are red, some that are yellow. Hoping that'll add to some visual interest for this cake. Folding those in, making sure they're nice and mixed. Pretty. Looks really good. Oh, love it. All right, now we're putting it into the pan, which I've greased my springform pan. I've also put in a parchment liner just as an insurance policy as far as making sure it'll come out. I have a feeling this is going to be a very pretty cake. Yeah, because they're already, like, there's bits of the actual, like, batter that have particles of the fruit in it, so it's just lightly pink. Now I'm gonna top it with the last, well, some more of the fruit. I'm probably not going to use it all because I am a bit concerned about how much fruit I've got here. So I'm going to put a generous amount on top, spread it around, and get out some sugar just to sprinkle over the top. I'm living dangerously by sprinkling directly from the bag. I really don't know how much I put on. I think I'm going to put a little bit of some pearl sugar on top here, too, just to see what that's like. I used that on my pie this week, and it was really quite nice. And this is also scented with vanilla. So an extra little vanilla kick. Okay. Now hopefully it's not over the top on the sugar. But I will see you all in about an hour and 15 minutes to let you know how the results are. Hello, gluttoneers. We are now an hour and something past when I last left you. The cake has been baked. It's beautiful. I've tasted it. It's amazing. So, really like this recipe. It's got a beautifully tender crumb to it, but holds up really well to having wet fruit mixed into it. And it holds fruit in place. It doesn't sink. That is the main problem with putting fruit in cakes, is that that will sink to the bottom because the cake really just can't even hold the fruit. But for some reason, this cake will and becomes insanely tender and delicious and amazing. And I love it with the sour note that the plums bring into it. And yeah, I'm blown away. Pretty much, I think you could stick any fruit into this cake and it would handle it quite well. I did put my fruit, when I chopped it up before I used it, into a sieve to allow any liquid to drain out of it that might be coming in or might come from being cut. Just to drain out a little bit of that extra fluid. But I mean, this can take very juicy, very, what's the word I'm looking for? It can take fruit. It can hold fruit. And it's delicious and amazing. All so the pearl sugar didn't work out as I'd planned. You can see it a little bit into the top, but it definitely just dissolved and melted into the cake top. Goodness. Ah. Anyway, tremendous success. Look forward to hear if anybody has opinions about this, but well done, Preppy Kitchen, on your amazing fresh fruit cake recipe. Gonna have to try with strawberries. Might have to try with some rhubarb at some point. But I love this cake as a base for pretty much anything. I just can't believe how wonderful, delicious, and tender it is. And for all of my flavor additions, none of them overwhelmed anything. I probably could increase the amounts of each so that they will come through a little bit more strongly. But otherwise, I mean, this cake was amazing. Anyway, another success. Off we go.